Tape, isn't it? We just turned it.
This is tape four, side two.
Very good. You made the introduction. I think we didn't devote too much time on anti-Semitism. What we did hear from you, Mark, was that you had an experience with Gentiles working for them who didn't honor our holiday as you would have loved to see them do it in this country. But my question would be, how do you feel in this country, in Squirrel Hill, compared to the life you led in Poland, which seems to us as a very anti-Semitic country, during your youth and as you grew? Is that true?
Were they? I am kind of sorry that you asked this question, because the answer has to be pessimistic. I lived in a non-Jewish neighborhood in Poland, in Krakow. We lived in a very assimilated section. That's the best way I can describe. We had a synagogue a block away from us, but it was a small synagogue, Orthodox. And the children, the three of us, because I had a brother who was 4 years older than me, a sister that was 2 years older than me, we went to Hebrew school, to Talmud. We traveled on bicycles to go to school. But my friends were non-Jewish. And at that time, when I was younger, I'm talking about the age of 14 and 15, during the school year, my best friends were non-Jews. I was Jewishly minded and brought up to be Jewish because of the school, which was Hebrew school, and also because of my vacation that I spent with my grandmother, where they were my cousins who were Orthodox, and I lived a really Jewish life. As well as all these friends were such a good friends, the day that Hitler came to Krakow, the day that they could show their true color, they became the worst anti-Semites. They hated Jews, and I have realized it only then. And why I'm saying my outlook has to be pessimistic, because I can only compare what I lived with what I live now. And I have seen some newscasts that were very disturbing to me. One of them about the farm life in America, by the way, they blamed the Jews that they were losing the farms.
The bankers.
And the similarity of that, reaching for the Jews to be scapegoats, was what happened in Europe when they took the Jews as scapegoats to conquer. Mm-hmm. When the Germans came in and say, we will find a final solution for the Jews. We're going to make it an Aryan world. The similarity is very much there. And I only hope that I'm wrong. We might be better organized. We might be smarter now. We're talking now about it. This is why I lectured about Holocaust, and this is why many times people are getting tired of hearing my so-called Holocaust mentality, but I believe we have to know that this can happen so we can stop it, because all those friends that I can see, even from the people that are involved in synagogue, the leadership, so-called, who refer to their best friends as, all right, he's not Jewish, but he's a wonderful guy. They don't know that wonderful guy can go next day and take him to concentration camp if he has an opportunity. And as long as he doesn't know that, it scares me. Because if he knows that, then he has a chance to prevent it. It can't happen. But if he doesn't believe it, that's what scares me. The anti-Semitism is very low here, which creates two things. If there would be anti-Semitism, the Jews would stick together. And the Jews would know that they have to fight for their rights, and they have to maintain the unity, and they wouldn't fight between each other, but they would fight maybe against this monster, against this anti-Semitism. But it's very quiet. It's only here and there you hear somebody saying, I'm going to Jew him down. which seems like this is nothing, but it isn't. Oh, other expressions like this. So we all realize, but we try to close our eyes. And this is why I like this week, because it has kind of unit. The square hole is so unique. You feel like you're in a Jewish neighborhood. You aren't. It's less than 50% Jews that live in square hole. But you feel like you are in a Jewish community. So as much as it's pessimistic. Right. I think so. That's what I heard.
But nationally, how did you feel a few weeks ago when one of our prominent senators on national television was talking about that Jew, that little Jew out west? I forget the rest of it. Mm-hmm. But this is prevalent in our society here. And I think a lot of us are conscious of it. And I just wondered, in respect to living in Poland, is it, well, you say you're negative about the future here. In other words, you think it could happen here. It's possible.
It's possible.
Yeah.
I hope it won't, but no. It's possible.
Living here as long as I have, I'd like to say this and get your reaction, that having been born here and my Jewish friends born here, I feel insecurity, even myself. An insecurity in this great land of liberty, because we have been subjected to the McCarthyism, mm-hmm. and right now to what's happening out west in the Farm Belt, mm-hmm. they're blaming the Jews, and we hear it on television. When in the world do you think the day will come when anti-Semitism may disappear, if ever?
Never.
Never.
The anti-Semitism never disappear. Our hope is that the State of Israel will be strong, because that will stop them. You know, Israel is a very strong ace in our hands, and this is why we have to support Israel. You said that you are uneasy. That's good, because that means that you're watching. Mm-hmm. Everybody should be uneasy, and then love them. I could stand them if I would see that everybody is uneasy about them. There's too many people that are not uneasy. They feel, how can you worry about it? I mean, I instituted at Beit Shalom the security door, that you could lock the place and only let people that you wanted with a buzzer. Mm-hmm. They said, Holocaust mentality. What do you need all this? I put in a plexiglass over the stainless window so you can throw a rock at the windows and won't break it. Mm-hmm. Holocaust mentality. Fine. Let it be Holocaust mentality, but I have secured the building. I have secured that if it happens, they can defend themselves. Maybe they can stop from burning the synagogues the way it was on Kristallnacht in Germany.
Right, good. Which leads us to this question. Would you like to make some remarks about Rabbi Kohani? You know what he stands for and what he's doing in Israel.
There we're coming. They all circle around. No, I'm against this kind of an approach. Philippines was the best example for us now, that peacefully you can win your point. When I was in Israel, one of the places that I have visited is Ben Gurion's house. And in his bedroom, there's a picture of Gandhi. You wonder why. Peaceful resistance. Right. We Jews don't believe in killing. We believe in helping people, in teaching them, and we believe in surviving through peaceful coexistence. But we have to learn also to do what the Israelis do. And when you hurt me, you get hurt double, because I don't let you hurt. Yes, I'm an American, and I will stand for my right to be Jewish. And the day that I cannot be Jewish in America, this is the day I leave, and I go to live where I can't be a Jew. Because nobody will force me to change. I'm hoping that this answers some of what you are asking. Kahani is...
a radical, right?
A radical is not almost radical, it's still difficult. It's the same way as the ultra orthodox fundamentalist. Right?
Yeah.
You can almost put them together. And I wouldn't be surprised that he's going to go in that direction because it's ready-made force. I mean, the orthodox fundamentalists in Israel are very active now. Through what is happening, they were created. The history created them. And Kahani is looking for Peking because he wants to become a strong force. And I hope that there is another way. And it doesn't have to be always peace with giving away. They cannot give away any more territory. But the negotiations can be you know, coexistence. They need the land that they have in Israel. They might need it for us. I hope not.
Do you believe, as I see it, that perhaps Israel could use a better public relations person to represent them as a speaker against all the negative news that's distributed around?
Come on, we had the best speakers in Israel. Abba Eben, when he was out.
Yes.
I mean, we had people that were best speakers. It didn't do much difference. We have good people in Israel. They can stand up for themselves. They don't need anybody to really enhance them anymore. Israelis have to be the way they are. You know, the Israeli born is called Sabra. Mm-hmm. Do you know why? Sabra is a cactus fruit, which is sweet on the inside, has the thorns on the outside. When you get to know Israelis, you can love it. If you just touch them, you get pricked by this.
Mm-hmm.
That's true. I'm telling you, there's a lot of people that go to Israel, come back and say, you know, the chutzpah of these people, I go to a restaurant with good American dollars and they really treat me like nothing. But they really don't. They treat you very well, but they are Israelis. And this is wonderful, because if they wouldn't be independent, they wouldn't survive there.
Mm-hmm. Can you think, my partner, can you think of some questions?
I was going to ask you what you have planned for the next few years. Are you projecting any?
Well, I told you that the first year I'm trying to organize myself, because I'm trying to see how to retire. I notified many people that I am in consulting business, kind of. But I'm not interested that much in money. I'm interested in consulting in the area of non-profit. I organize through my organization, National Association, I don't know if I told you that they're going to set up a subsection of the National Association of Synagogue Administrators, which will be from the retired executive directors, and that will be available to travel to any part of the country, even if they don't have executive directors, to help them to organize themselves, or even the ones that hire young people that don't have experience, to bring our knowledge, our experience to them and help them develop. So I'm hoping to be active in that area. I'm hoping to be active in the area which needs badly looking into in this community. I think I mentioned to you about the Menetz cemeteries in the Pittsburgh area, Jewish cemeteries, some of them very small, that people already have forgotten that they exist because there's nobody alive to take care of them. The Jewish community has a responsibility to maintain them.
Yes.
I hope it, to be involved in it, to help organize a task force which will be under the Federation, which will maintain anything that is Jewish with pride, with value. If we don't honor our death, then we shall not be honored. They will forget us. We can't forget them. And we should find a way to maintain them, to have places where people can go there and say, look at this, this is a place that was created at one time, and how beautiful it is. And I hope that we can do that.
Mm-hmm.
And if people will want, I will work on it, and I'll be involved in it. And last but not least, I hope I have an opportunity to work again with children in some areas, because I always loved working with children. I always felt young when I was working in the resident camping. I was the father image, and I grew while they were growing up. And today I see many of them rabbis who were campers in the place, and
nice.
I meet them at the conventions, and it's such a pleasure.
That's pretty rewarding. No question.
Okay. Let us thank you
very much.
Yes.
I hope. Very interesting.
Great experience for me, and you too.
Thank you very much.
Well, Aline knew me, so she knew all this.
Yes.
Oh.
This was all new for me, and
not
I'm
really.
Glad I had that opportunity.
We worked together on many projects, wasn't it?
Really.
Thank you, Mark.
We did.